Time now for Fort McMurray Matters on Mix 103.7. All the topics and issues that matter to you and your family. Brought to you by Culligan Water, Fort McMurray Orthodontics, and by Cooper & Company Law Firm.
Welcome to another edition of Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Jaron Vecchio, and on today's show, we're going to be talking about a former Fort McMurray resident and Holy Trinity Knight football standout taking his talent to the NCAA. But before we get into that, I had a chance to talk to Medical Officer of Health with Alberta Health Services, Mayank Singhal, as they've been updating flu numbers for the last couple of months. Flu season is in full swing. And as of December 21st, our last update, there have been over 3,300 cases of influenza, leading to 19 deaths. Now, as for how many Albertans have been to the hospital, that number is around 870. This is almost 600 more compared to the end of 2016. So just to start off, I've been following the flu numbers since you guys have been updating them for the past couple of months. And the one thing I have noticed across the province compared to this time last year, the numbers are up quite a bit. Is there maybe a reason for that?
You know, the flu season is different from year to year. We did notice that that similar to our experience, Australia, which is in the southern hemisphere, had a similar experience. They had many more cases, and that's just the nature of influenza. It varies 1 year to another year, which is why we always recommend that people get their flu shots to protect themselves, among other measures to prevent infection.
So there's really no big concern maybe coming from the HS. Obviously, when you hear these people are going to the hospital, it's obviously a concern, but are the numbers maybe not as concerning as maybe I was thinking?
Well, they are concerning in the sense that, yeah, we know flu influenza happens every year. We also know that it changes every year. So some seasons are more severe than others. So we probably are looking at a more severe season compared to the previous one.
Now, I'm going to kind of test your knowledge here, but I'm not looking for numbers, but maybe going back a few years, has there been maybe a year that compares to this? I've only been in Fort McMurray since 2016, so I only know the numbers from last year. So maybe compared to like 2015-14, how do the numbers match up?
So, you know, you might be aware that the influenza season, it's different both in severity and also when it starts every year. So what's helpful to compare one season to another is to look at how many cases we have at the peak of it and how long the influenza season lasts. So you're right, last year was much more mild compared to this year. So the number that I like to use to compare one season to another is how many cases did we have in a given week, which gives you a sense of influenza activity. So to give you a sense of that, this year, about the week ending December 16th, we had about 97 cases of influenza in the North Zone for that 1 week. And so if you compare last year, we had... Let me do a couple of quick math here. When we were at the peak, which was in mid-January last year, we had 39 cases. So we believe we're in the peak of this season right now. Mm-hmm. So you can see there's already a big increase compared to last year. But if we backtracked a few years ago, back in, let's say, I can go as far as back as 2013-14 season. Mm-hmm. At the peak of that season, we had about 180 cases at the peak of it, which was early January. So it does vary from year to year. This season is more severe compared to last year, but not quite as severe as the 2013-2014 year.
Okay, so every year, kind of what I'm getting, every year it can vary quite drastically?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, comparing again to last year, ending 2016, there was four people who unfortunately passed away. That number has jumped by like five times. It's getting close to 19. Is there a concern with HS there, or is it just an unfortunate circumstance that it's just the numbers just keep varying?
Well, yeah, it is always a concern for us when people die of what we typically consider vaccine preventable diseases, whether it be influenza, whether it be pertussis, or measles, we we certainly are. We certainly try our best to encourage people to get vaccinated as much as possible, mm-hmm. And also other measures that prevent transmission of infection, like, you know, staying home when you're sick, washing your hands, and when you're coughing or sneezing, covering your mouth and nose. You know, typical things that our mothers taught us when we were younger. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we've talked about getting your flu shot, probably the big way to stop the flu at its track. Is there any other tips you have for people to make sure that maybe if they do get the flu, to make sure that they can beat this illness?
Yeah, so in terms of if you have the flu, most people will not have severe disease related to it, but certainly everybody's contagious. Mm-hmm. So the number one thing is to stay home as much as possible, because influenza can transmit through droplets. So whenever that person coughs or sneezes, we release a whole bunch of droplets into the air, and they remain suspended for a little while, and if somebody else breathes them in or comes into contact with them, that other person can get it. So if people cover their mouth when they're coughing and sneezing, that helps reduce transmission. If people wash their hands frequently, especially after blowing their nose or coughing, that helps to reduce transmission as well.
All right.
But the biggest thing, of course, is you know, minimizing exposure to other people when you are sick. Mm-hmm. And then one final thought is that if you might be having symptoms of severe illness, which might include chest pain or shortness of breath, or just overall feeling like you're getting super dizzy, passing out, something that's severe of that nature, then of course seeking medical attention, either by calling 811 or going to your doctor or emergency department, is very reasonable.
All right. Just one last question for you. I appreciate taking the time. I know a lot of people, when I've had a chance to talk to people personally who haven't gotten their flu shot, there seems to be a myth, and I don't know if it is a myth that's going around, that people don't want to take it because they think that the shot will give them the flu. I don't know if this is true. Can you kind of talk about that?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely correct in that. That is a myth. You cannot get the flu from the shot itself. And the reason for that is that it's... the flu shot is composed of proteins that are found on the flu virus, which basically primes our immune system to attack that virus when it comes into contact. So it's not actually possible to get the flu from the vaccine. Many people can experience there can be, so sometimes what will happen is that they'll get the flu shot, and then they might have some flu-like symptoms afterwards. So there can be two explanations for that, neither of which is getting the actual flu. So it could be just a bit of a minor reaction to the flu vaccine itself. So it is possible to get a little bit of fever, fever and fatigue after getting the flu shot. Usually it goes away after a couple of days and can easily be treated with Tylenol and Advil. The other thing is that the other possibility is that that person was exposed to the flu virus prior to getting the vaccine or around the time of getting the vaccine, and is now developing the flu. The flu vaccine takes at least about 2 weeks for it to work. So if you're exposed to the flu virus in the interim before the vaccine has had a chance to work, you can still get the flu up to 2 weeks after.
We're going to take our first break here on For McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as after the break, we're going to be changing our topics from the flu to football, as a former For McMurray resident and Holy Trinity Knight is taking his talent to the NCAA.
You're listening to Fort McMurray Matters on Mix 103.7, brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and by Culligan Water. We'll be right back after this. Now, back to Fort McMurray Matters on Mix 103.7, brought to you by Culligan Water, Fort McMurray Orthodontics, and by Cooper & Company Law Firm.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio, And if you're just tuning into the show right now before the break, we had a chance to hear from Alberta Health Services talking about flu numbers and getting a message out to go get your flu shot, as cases of Albertans going to the hospital are increasing quite a bit compared to 2016. I also mentioned before the break, we're going to be switching topics to football, as a former Holy Trinity football standout is taking his talents to the NCAA, that being 18-year-old Tola Banjoko. So Tola, along with Holy Trinity head coach Kwame Osei, are now joining me in studios. Tola, let's get right into it. Going to Princeton, Ivy League school in the States. Before we get into that kind of detail, let's start off with playing for Holy Trinity. Let's talk about your football time there and how you got to get to go to Princeton.
Well, I think I started playing, what was it, 8th grade? Seventh or eighth grade, I didn't really want to play, actually. Like, I was always bigger than everybody, so, like, a bunch of my friends were on the team, like, oh, you got to play, dude. And I was like, no, I'm not trying to play. You know, it's cold or whatever. But, you know, I eventually, I mean, he talked me into it, actually. He called me into his office, and he being Osei, and he called me into his office, and he sat me down. We had, like, this 30-minute talk. He just basically convinced me, and right after that, I signed up. You know, I played what was it, junior nights for two years. You know, had a great time, you know, won two championships, city championships, you know, played Ravens as well during the springtime. And after that, I went to senior high, played for him for my 10 and 11. So after my grade 11 season, you know, I had a good season or whatever, and you know, he started to send my tape out to, you know, schools down in the States, you know, prep schools like that, and got a couple responses, and he brought me Episcopal, as, you know, he thought it was the best option for me. You know, my mom looked at it, and me and my mom sat down, and we thought it was the best option for us, so that's how I ended up going down to Episcopal.
All right, well, let's go back to Kwame. He just mentioned you quite a bit, going back to, I believe, the 8th grade, and you sat down, 30-minute talk. What drove you to, what did you see in Tola that you thought this guy could be a great football player and could also help him, you know, help with his education?
Well, when I first came to the school, I'm still about 6 feet. This kid was 6'1", maybe, when I first met him in grade 7. Following year, he grows a little bit more. Then I'm looking at him like, this kid's going to be tall, right? And I remember it was grade 9. He was already playing, and I didn't really talk to him. I just kind of let him be. But then I found out he wasn't playing. So I wanted to find out why he wasn't playing. So I had a talk with him. You mind if I expose you? So I had a talk with him in my office. I'm just trying to figure out why he's not playing football. And he gave me this reason that he only wants to play in spring, and he didn't really like football that much, but he didn't want to play in the fall because he didn't want to play in the snow.
Yeah. Nah, right? Don't you remember? I was like, we're not going to win, so I didn't want to play. You remember that?
Yeah.
I was like, we're not going to win the championship.
Because that was when Shark first started playing, yeah. Because he also didn't think they were going to his team was going to win because a lot of his friends weren't playing also. Because prior to that, when he was in grade 7, they had a really, really good year.
Yeah.
And then for some reason, none of the kids wanted to play in the fall anymore. Oh, that was because of the Ravens thing. Yeah. We're not going to get into that. But and I was new to the city, so I didn't really know much about football scene and everything. And so he told me, like, all my friends aren't playing. We're not going to win. What's the point of playing? And plus, he doesn't even want to play in the fall because it's cold. First thing I addressed was the cold thing. I just told him, like, hey, like, at the end of the day, if you want to play football in the future, you better get used to the cold, right? You got to adapt and conquer. Then I told him, it doesn't matter if your friends are not playing. Look at the size of you. You play, I 100% guarantee all your friends would play. You're physically imposing. Who would not want you on their team, right? You're the leader. You won't be the follower.
Definitely don't want to be on the team against
it. Exactly.
You tower over me.
So then he ended up playing. Fact is, all of his friends ended up joining. They ended up winning a championship, and it was good to see. And then in grade 10, he comes to me, and he's playing for me for the high school team now. I've seen so much maturity in terms of how he was from grade 9 and 10, like his off-field work, starting to get serious in grade 10 with training. Grade 11 took it to a whole nother level. Grade 11, we just saw him flourish. And I remember sitting with a bunch of my assistant coaches and having a talk with them. I told him, I think Tolkien can play the next level. Mm-hmm. A few people didn't think that he would, and he could. And I told him, I'm telling you, this kid could play in the next level. And it's funny that we're even talking about this today, because I remember that conversation in grade 9. I remember telling him the goal is for him to go to the States. You remember that?
Yeah.
The goal was for him to go to the States. And I just felt that he was ready in grade 11. We could have kept him for another year, but I just felt for his growth and for the longevity of football in Fort Murray, he needed to leave, and we're just very proud of everything he's done, and we know he's going to be achieving much more success in the next few years.
Now, Tol, are you from Fort McMurray?
No, I was born in Chicago.
Okay, so yeah. What drove your family up to Fort McMurray?
I was born in Chicago. Mm-hmm. My mom lived there, me, my mom, my sister. Well, my mom got a job in Toronto, actually, so we moved to Mississauga right outside Toronto. And she got a job here in Fort McMurray, so
okay.
That's what, yeah.
Now, talk about, you were down in the States for the last year?
2 years.
2 years, so talk about your last 2 years there.
Well, you know, I go to Episcopal, it's a boarding school, private boarding school. I mean, it's a school, you know, you go there 5 days a week, you got your homework, things like that. You know, play football, obviously it's great playing football down in the States. A lot of competition, you know, every game, you know, you have an opportunity to get better, you know, you see some great players every game, you know, just some things that you don't necessarily get to see up here, so it's a good opportunity.
We're going to take our last break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as after the break, we're going to continue our talk with Tola Banjoko and Kwame Osei.
You're listening to Fort McMurray Matters on Mix 103.7, brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and by Culligan Water. We'll be right back after this.